Let's do an ad. Hi, Bill.
Hey,
put,
Mike.
Bill, put that endangered species down. Put it down.
I'm just trying
put
to make it breed.
Put it down. Don't do that. Okay, there's not. You need two of them. What's that in your back? Get that other, get that female version of that same endangered species out of your pocket.
They really like each other.
Bill.
It's meant to be.
You need something else in your life, okay? You don't need to fix the endangered
species. Oh, yeah, like what?
Like what? I'll tell you what. How about getting one of your films seen in our film festival? How about that?
Go
get
on.
Walk, just
go
step
on.
Away from the ledge and we'll keep talking. I don't know why you're breeding these things by a ledge.
I have them both in my hands.
Get
we can
away
all, we can
from,
all go
okay.
down. Explain to me this film thing.
Okay, well, if you go to filmfreeway.com/Boston, like the city, okay? Filmfreeway.com/Boston, you could have your film seen on ASMR Kitten's YouTube channel. She's got 30,000 subscribers. It's losing feathers. Please step away from the ledge. Come on.
It just does that when it's excited.
Oh, I didn't know. They're endangered. I haven't encountered a lot of them. Okay? Look, if you go to filmfreeway.com/Boston and you enter one of your films, we accept podcasts, video art, almost anything. You could get your film seen by... She's got videos on her channel seen by hundreds of thousands of people. That's amazing for a prize. Bill, you ever tried to get a video seen by lots of people?
I have, and it is really, really hard. That's why I'm filming this right now, and it's still not getting a lot
of views.
This
is going to get you in so much trouble, though. Where did you get them? They look so rare and beautiful. And babies,
too. I
know
a guy who knows
a guy. We're going to have a talk about when things can breed. They look small. They look too small. So anyway, filmfreeway.com/Boston.
We are going to... okay, first of all, a thing I want to bring back to the show. Before this is our cold open. We used to do this bit called I'm Stuck in a River, which is whenever you want, whenever we get into some rabbit hole of talking about something. And I'm going to put this intro in at the beginning. At any point, one of the co-hosts can say, I am stuck in a river. And the other co-host must then actualize a scenario in which they are helping someone out of a mirror, out of a river. Now, I could have said the word improv there. I didn't want to, because that just inspires crappiness. But essentially, if you're ever people will get it. If one of us says we're stuck in a river, the other has to help them out. Are you getting it though? I think we've done it before, Bill. Right.
So basically, is it just a way to pull us back to like a conversation? Like
yes, but it's also you have to help me physically out of the river.
Okay, like
in
words?
The theater of the mind. Yes, that in through words. What through? No, press the podcast button next to your podcast to pull me out of. Yes, through words. Right,
as in, like, do I stop and I go back over what I said more?
No,
clearly?
No. I'm gonna say I'm stuck in a river. The audience will hear the sounds as if they are hearing a recording of two people: one stuck in a river, the other helping him out of a river.
Okay.
So, like, pretend, like improv, that you are helping me out of a river. You may create the scenario in which I'm stuck in the river.
I need to throw you a rope, so I'm looking... I throw you a vine. There's a vine next
D&D,
to me.
Dude. It's... You're a good improviser. Oh, my God. All right, this is... Okay, we're going to start the show. I know you get this. I know you... Are you fucking with me? I can't tell.
I'm pretty sure I get it, but I guess
if I say the words, I'm stuck in a river, or if you say the words, help, I'm in a river.
I'm stuck in a river.
Okay, well, not right now. It's not like a safety thing.
But I want to test.
Okay, so we'll do it in a second. Then we will pretend, both of us, like improvisation, like two sketch comics that we are.
Okay.
We will pretend using acting to become out of a river. Can that make sense? You're aware of theater
yes.
of the mind? Okay, you're aware of who you are and the skills you have and that you've done this before?
Yes.
Okay. So, currently, please help me out of this river. Please.
Michael, take my hand. Grab it.
Oh, it's God. The only person who talks that way is God. Oh, you must be God. Hi,
no,
God.
No, it's just Bill. I'm just slightly above you right now, and there's some sun shining on my back. So
it's amazing.
It's a cool
being
effect.
Slightly above me and being kind of apathetic, it really does create that God effect. I gotta be honest.
Well, I mean,
Now I'm kind of, do you want to wait around for God with me?
No, you should really take my hand because you are getting sucked into the deeper into the river. So you should
really grab my hand. But that's what I'm thinking is the worse it gets, the more likely God shows up, right? Like,
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, depending on if there's how many people that are stuck in a river right now.
Wait. I think it's, no, it's just a squirrel. Should I get close to drowning? Or should,
what do you gotta look like you really want it.
Dear Lord, why did you not save us? Well, you didn't put in the, you felt like you were here for the wrong reasons. Let's start the show. This is Hack Thought Podcast with hosts Mike Fallick and Bill Moore. Theme song by Freddy Unreal of the Fangers. Okay, I'm going to take this first episode. I'm starting a new segment on the show, on my episodes, and I think you'll like them. We're going to call them Morality Michaels, okay? On my episodes, I will be presenting you with moral situations, Bill. This is not would you rather. There's not right answer. The goal is obviously to be funny as well, but the goal is to genuinely answer and think about these things. However you want, however you view them. Okay? So we will now, I'm going to lay in some spooky music when I present these, or omniscient music, I guess is a better way to say it. And then we'll go into it. Now, which would you like first? I'll let you choose. You know what? No, I'm going to choose for you. Because to be honest, I want to get used to the I'm stuck in a river thing, and the other also has a bit that goes with it. So I'm just going to choose for you. Okay, sorry. Spooky music. Okay, yeah. Spooky. Now it's spooky. It's still spooky. Okay.
Such spook.
Moral scenario number one. An evil entity approaches you in the middle of the night one night. He explains that evil and terrible things happen to people because his kind, who live in another dimension away from Earth and inaccessible to you, thrive off of the suffering of creatures on planet Earth. The two of you talk for some time and come to a negotiation. He has determined that his kind and these other entities like him, these other evil creatures, can solely subsist on the suffering of eliminating candy from planet Earth entirely. Now, you, of course, accept this deal. You'll be stopping many tragedies, horrible things, attacks, and suffering. However, it is now up to you to eliminate candy from the entire planet Earth. How do you do so?
Realistically?
I mean, however you want to answer it. It's also a comedy show. But either way, I mean, I'm sure you'll be funny either way, but what do you think your methodology would be?
It'd have to be something to take to Twitter and prove that candy, or that all the manufacturers of said candy do like all these heinous illicit things, and make it so just like if you eat candy, it's morally wrong, and then wait for the moral outrage to ripple through social media. And then slowly people will start getting rid of candy, because if you eat candy, you'll be insanely judged.
Cancel culture. But you know what? I think there's two issues with that. Let's start with the practical, because I think that's more interesting for now. You and I are on Twitter. You know.
Mm-hmm. As I've seen.
You don't just get things going on Twitter. You know what I mean? It's like you and I have also been hired for people that are like, make us a viral video. It's like, okay, I'll make you a video.
Yeah.
But viral is up to the audience. So that's the first problem I see with Twitter. And the second is, to be honest, I think there already exists cancel culture for candy.
Yeah, pretty sure Hershey's. Like Hershey's, I'm pretty sure they use like...
I didn't think of that. Yeah, what do they do? What do they do? What does Hershey's
do? Pretty sure they use slave children to make the candy or something. I thought I'd heard. Or
wow, Well, and guess what? You're still eating Hershey's. So it seems like there's a lot of flaws in this plan.
Well, yeah, it's because chocolate is a big thing to try to get people not to ever.
I wasn't even talking about like an actual cancel culture event. I didn't know about that. I meant like, I think there's people that try and shame people into like fat shaming almost and like nutrition shaming and use cancel culture.
Well, because I think the thing with fat shaming is that it's like the candy's not the one that will get canceled. It's the people that are doing the shaming will be the ones that will be like, how dare you even begin shaming in the first place? It's like the candy's almost untouchable. Like,
yeah, but yeah. So you're saying you because right now there are people who, as a part of fat shaming people, will talk about candy, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we're saying. And you're saying you have to go after the candy. And what I'm saying is, both tacks already work, right? Like Hershey's has slave labor, you're saying. You've heard this. I didn't hear this. We'll have to look into it. This is not a factual show. This is about jokes. Everyone's still eating Hershey's and still eating chocolate in general. In fact, it almost makes more candy, right? So that's problem number one. But let's now get into the moral decision of it. You're just going to lie about people's livelihoods? I mean, there's like good people that make candy.
Well, yeah, no, there's like so many people that make candy. Like that's like, there's like private groups that make candy. So there's so many, it's not just like one thing you'd be able to be like, if I can shut that one down, then all the candy's gone. It's like,
but what about you, your plan, sir? was to lie and say that candy companies were doing immoral things. Are you saying that pretty much everyone does something immoral so you could find a cancel culture thing to do?
Well, in my mind, it was kind of like you basically triggered the, because I feel like everyone, there is always someone out there that wants to cancel something, and you just have to get the right angle that makes them go, yes, that's what I've been trying to say this whole time. And if you can amplify that one voice, and if they are able to get one trending tweet out, then suddenly you're able to cancel a large chunk of it. So you got to keep hitting the small randos that are like, I've been trying to cancel butter and chocolate related products for ages. I think they're offensive. And then it's like,
yeah, but okay. So first of all, I want to say this. If you don't know what cancel culture is, it's a nonsense word from the internet. But it means just essentially when people like boycott stuff, but people who got boycotted needed a new word to be upset about them not liking their company. But either way, it's a word on the internet. And that's its origin. There are good versions of cancel culture and bad versions of cancel culture. But its origin is definitely someone being like, we are not being boycotted because we have slave children making the chocolate. It's because, oh, everyone is just so up their own butts. So that's where that word came from for sure. But without getting into the complicated issue of it, that's what we're talking about when we say that. But Bill, like, I'm not going to fall for that if it's not true. Like, so I'm still going to be causing all of the world's tragedies by eating candy. So that's a practical thing, but okay, here's the other side of it. So you do this, you get these lies out, you get all these wackos who are like, they've been trying to hurt people and be like, oh, you eat candy? Blech. But it's not working. You connect with them, okay, and it works, right? It works, and everyone stops eating candy. But then, like, you're at home, and someone, like, does some internet sleuthing. Ted the Martian Manhunter, is like... Why did this happen to Mars Company, to Mars Bars? I want to find who one of the people that tweets about this, and they find you, and Ted Mars is there on your home crying, and you're like, come in, Mr. Manhunter, please call me the, and you bring him in, and he's sitting on your couch, and he's there. He has somehow he's gotten a hat from the 20s, that weird like. That like weird newsboy hat, and I don't even know where he got it. He's wringing it in his hands. Yeah, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So he goes in your house and he goes to the bathroom, and then he comes out and you're like, "Is that a hat from my house?" And you're like, "Yes, I assumed it was a ringing hat so I could ring." And he sits there and he starts crying. And goes, "Mr. Moore," and you're really getting you ignore. Because he's crying so much, you ignore how much he's twisting up your dad's hat. Like, at first, you're like, don't... You know when someone sits on a couch super hard? Mm-hmm. And you're like,
The springs!
Not like an animal! People who listen
slamming
to
the table.
People who listen. You know how sometimes you make a joke on a podcast and you're like, that person won't listen. For sure, the person I'm talking about that does this heard me make this joke about sitting too hard on a couch. Okay, so... Yeah. So
they'll also be the ones that slam a table really hard if it's like, that's a funny joke, or watching something and they'll slam the table or like...
Too hard.
Heavy on the table.
Too hard, yes. Too hard. It's not... They're not rattling about. They've decided to hit your table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Conscious choice.
Table hit. Yeah. Or the people that slam fridges.
Yes.
What's the point? Okay, so he's there. He's got the... And you cringe a little at him wringing the hat so much, but he's crying. He goes, Mr. Moore. He's like a child. I don't like that. He goes, make him an old British man. He says, Mr. Moore, I've seen you've tweeted about the crimes of my company. Me and the other Martian Manhunters, we're all out of work now. Oh, and to be honest, the world is at peace. Never before have we seen such peace, and yet I, Ted the Martian Manhunter, head of Mars Company, find no solace because, although everyone has jobs, even I, Ted the Martian, I did not do the things people said I did. You, sir, wrote these things about me. I would never... I, of course, enslave Martians because they're not humans, but that's not what you said I did. Martians are lesser beings because they're from a gross, small planet. But you, sir, you said I did things to Earthlings. Why? Where did you get this idea? I just want people to look at me and know I would never do this. What do you say to him then?
Oh, I do truly feel for you. And he starts rending.
He's gone from ringing to rending.
Oh, he said rendering. He starts rendering. He's way too fuzzy.
He starts making butter. Okay, he starts rending his clothing. He starts rending.
I'm sorry, sir. I mean, I had to think of the greater good. I needed to, like, it was a way to help all of humanity.
Now hold on. He's coming to the conclusion that times are good on his own. Earth is objectively better. Okay, Earth is objectively better. People have jobs. There's no disasters. There's no crime because of the evil entities you appeased. But you're not allowed to tell him about the evil entities.
Right.
He is simply abject to the idea that people think he did this.
Then if you want people to not think you did it, you need to release a best-selling autobiography that's a tell-all that... You admit that you explain how you didn't do it and that this was a big setup. It's got to be a bestseller. It's got to be on at least a couple radio shows, not even one news program and like 17 different radio shows.
Okay. And he's rending his clothing on the ground and he looks up with huge tears in his eyes. He's become jowly from the rendering. So I'm going to add that to him.
Mr. Moore, by Jove, I shall write a book. I will do it.
And he goes out and he writes this book and he sells all these copies. Okay? He gets all these things, but the reviews come in and everyone's like, he did it. He did it. This is a lie. I actually think he's worse now. And this guy was just going to deny it. Just own up to your crimes. How dare you? And he comes back to your doorstep. He's even, Bill, I've got to tell you, I don't know if this is weighing on your moral decision. He's even more jowly in his voice. The trauma has, if you guys don't know this about trauma, it causes a lot of jowliness. He goes, Mr. Mortimer, you must help me. He comes in, he takes several of your hats and starts wringing and rending them. Ringing and rending and ringing. He goes, I don't know what to do, Mr. Mortimer.
I'm going straight for the hats, man.
No, they're so good to ring and rend. Sorry. It's a coping mechanism. It's a big... aside from this issue, it's a big problem. I go to someone's house, I start ringing and rending all their clothing and hats. It's terribly offensive, but let's focus on one problem at a time, you know, making every day a better me. Mr. Moore! Mr. Moore! Your book? It did not work. People think I'm a liar. A liar, I believe! Ted the Martian Manhunter?
What do you say now?
Sadly, this is the uphill battle that is life. You have to convince people of something that they're very satisfied.
Bill, I'm so shocked at your, like, blasé attitude. You're so, like you're saying it to, like, somebody at the DMV.
Sir, I'm incredibly, incredibly sorry, and I'm sorry that you are feeling the brunt of this. I really, really am. Like, I'm truly sorry that this is the situation you are in. It's just, sadly, no, this is just the uphill battle that is effing life. Like, it sucks, and I would like to help try to support, like, showing that you are a good person. I mean, if there's any way that you can, like, release, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think for you, sir, like, if you can release, like, videos of what it's like to be in your, like, what was like to, well, you have Bill, old videos.
Bill, perhaps we lose sense of this. I think I know a way I can solve this. What if I was not the only one? Bill, will you, Mr. Moore, I beg you.
He's full slug now. He's got jowls and antenna. This is just part of trauma. If you guys don't know about trauma, this is how it works. He goes, Bill,
what if you say that you also did it that way and that you coerced me to do it?
But I didn't coerce you to do it. Like,
I didn't do it either, though. I don't know who started this rumor. You clearly did.
Created what rumor?
The rumor that I enslaved Martians or humans. I forget.
Yes, I mean, I may have started something that mushroomed him to a bunch of other things, and for that.
So why don't you say it was your idea?
Which part?
The torturing and the enslaving that you brought about me on the internet.
What do you think, Bill? What do you think now? Now he's saying, okay, no one will believe me. You started this rumor. Hey now, why don't you take some of the blame? Hmm?
Okay, yes, I can.
So, but now that was scenario
one. No, I know.
That was scenario one. Now that's you. That's your life. And remember, you can't tell anyone about the creatures.
I think I might be stuck in a river.
Sir, hello. This is the police, okay?
Huh? What? Yes.
I'm busy, so I can't help you get out of that river. But I'm sending lots of well wishes, okay?
Do any of those well-wishers have a rope or some type of pulley device?
Hello, Bill. It is I, the spirit of the forest, where you have gotten stuck in a river.
Yes, I have. Please, spirit of the forest, please get me out of this river.
I was just trying to say hello.
Well, hello. I'm so sorry.
It's all
sorry.
About you.
Well, I'm in a slightly panicked state because, like, I'm stuck in a river, which implies this is not, like, I'm not in a good space right now.
That's so interesting.
It's a very nice river.
And is that a full-time job? I love meeting new people.
Being stuck? No, this was a tragic side hustle that,
Oh, I was once an Uber driver. It seems like you're not interested in my things. You're just always kind of going on about you and your river.
So, How are you, Spirit of the Forest? How is it going? How with all of the, are you the spirit of just this forest, or are you the spirit of all forests?
I can tell from your sort of panicky drowning that you're really only asking to get to my saving abilities, and I kind of think that's rude. I'm more than just.
I would be very happy to continue this conversation post-rivering as well.
Well, it just feels like I hate it. It's just a pet peeve of mine. I hate when people are drowning when I'm talking. It kind of seems like they're distracted.
I do understand that. I can get that pet peeve. I can get that on a very personal level. I'm happy to help dispel that.
Do you have a way to do that? Is it some sort of spell?
It would be a spell. It would just be basically...
You're a witch! Drown the witch! Did it!
I'm not a witch!
Another witch killed by me! River spirit? Forest spirit? Who knows?
Help, I'm stuck in two rivers, help!
I have created a third river. These are my powers. Sometimes, in order to fix your problems, you've got to go deeper in. Go deeper into the river. They'll accept that you're stuck in a river. Is that you're drowning quite a bit more. Quite a bit more. Ooh, I don't like that noise at all. You know, people say they like babbling rivers, but it sounds quite a bit like someone mopping. Oh, Bill, stop. That was horrible. So you would commit to that? How do you feel at that your moral scenario played out?
Well, in the end, yeah, no, because the problem is, I guess, like, toward the end, is that it's that moral dilemma of, like, this is one single person when it's the greater good, and you have the one single sad person in front of you who you do feel bad for, but technically the thing that I did is for the greater of humanity. And then also the problem is once you open the door for one person being sad, and as much as I would be, like, yes, I want to take the responsibility, then what's to say that, like, 4,000 more of these same sad slug-like people will come, and then it's like, and then the problem mushrooms from there.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a weird tack to take. I think that, like, the PR tack is always going to come back to you.
Yeah,
someone's going to find you. Someone's going to find you, right? But did you feel bad about? You didn't care. You felt like I changed the world. Whatever. This one guy.
I did feel bad, but it was kind of, I guess, it was almost that kind of the cold calculating, like, it was sad. I felt really bad that this person's here, but it's like, I was getting Star Trek-y on him, where it was like, it was for the, like, the needs of the many, and it was kind of like, I'm sorry, it's needs of the many, man, needs of the many.
Spock says that, dog. In that scene, Spock says it, and he wants them to kill him. You threw Ted Mars under the bus. Yeah, it's a really noble thing when Spock is like, Jim, you must shut down the generator. You'll never live.
Like I said, I was doing needs of the many, but
giving
I was
enough attention
him.
To he my the, pretty spot on Nimoy impression. Bill.
I was throwing it on him.
Bill, you glazed right over my Nemo. It was a pretty good Nimoy. Did you hear it?
I did. I liked it.
It was pretty good. Okay, you were being Scotty just in the engine room?
In the engine room being like, yeah, I just saw your needs are the manying, man.
Great job. Yeah, sure. That's fine. I'm as long as the ship keeps running, I'm fairly amoral to most decisions. Remember the episode of Star Trek where I killed a prostitute? Look it up. Scotty kills a prostitute, and it gets blamed on a ghost. But anyway, so long as I don't really care, time for you to get some gas. I'm mostly a heartless mechanic. Don't care. Oh, what was that this week? Oh, Captain Kirk and Uhura met a race of people who love each other, but once they fall in love with each other, they then speak a different language? How interesting. Listen, as a side note, did you get those lug nuts I asked for? Yeah, great. I'm glad you guys are curing relations around the... some diplomacy. That's fun. I really only care about the batteries. Could you get me more batteries?
Like four or five.
Four or five batteries. Oh, what's that? What's that? Well, Scotty doesn't know if he can operate on a man who is a war criminal, but his blood will create the cure for a disease for many. Oh, but he doesn't want to save. Oh, that's so fascinating. Has anyone seen my screwdriver?
I'm a really big one.
It's the big spacey one that I use for the engine. I mostly don't give a shit about any moral decisions or diplomacy on this ship. At all. Mr. Spock, I can't see how we can save these people. We'll have to choose to let most of them drown. Hey, ring, ring, ring. It's me, Scotty, on the communicator. Understand you're saving the world. Are you going really fast? Because, like, cut it out. He's the worst. Thinking about Scotty now, Scotty is literally the worst person on Star Trek. He never does anything to help. I understand someone has to take care of the ship, but, like, someone has to do everything. Like, Scotty could give a shit, like, slightly fucking more.
Great, we got a good plan. I'm gonna stay back and I'll work on the ship. Scotty, oh, God. we uh Scotty, we clearly see your magazine. You've got a magazine that's like, yeah, no, you know, but it's right by the ship. I'm going to keep working on the ship.
Well, something yeah, happens with the ship.
You guys go out there and fight the monster, but I'm going to be back here on the ship just in case if you need to take off. Then I'll make sure the ship is up and running. Scotty, last we knew that the ship was up and running and it was fully functional. No, that's what it says, but you never know. There could be a malfunction in the system, and that the system might be just totally, totally whacked. So Scotty, I'm going to make sure it's not whacked.
Scott, I also gotta say, I'm the doctor. Surely I should always be on the ship, but I seem to go on tons of missions. And we have a crew, it's a giant ship. We have a crew of hundreds of mechanics. I'm not really sure.
Through my keen eye, I believe I can see that he has an open playmate over there. No, that's not what
inside
that is.
Inside
no,
is another, is a mechanic magazine. I don't want people to know I'm reading about
I'm embarrassed by the mechanic magazine.
It's the future. I'm more embarrassed by education than porn. Everyone loves porn nowadays. So I watch, I make everyone think, oh, I'm looking at some porn. But on the inside, popular mechanics. Less popular because it's the future. Unpopular mechanics. Unpopular mechanics. It's just like a guy who has like bad breath. I'm Ted. I'm one of the unpopular mechanics. This week, Sandy in Unpopular Mechanics. Hi, I'm Sandy. I like to talk a lot about my collection of dog pillows. Unpopular Mechanics. Coming to a magazine store. Nowhere.
I'm actually a great mechanic, but it's really difficult to get to my location, so that's why I'm so unpopular. Like,
Sandy's interests are sharing her traffic jam reports and how long it takes her to commute. Unpopular mechanics.
I guess the AccuWeather.
I bet it's going to be cloudy today. Don't open the window. You'll ruin it, Ted. Don't do it. I want to be surprised. Oh, you did it. Now I know. I waited all morning to guess the fucking weather, Ted. And now you ruined it. I hate Sandy! I hate Sandy with all my life! Oh, what's wrong, Sandy? My goddamn husband, that's what, always opening the window before I called it 3 weeks in a row that it was sunny. That fucking piece of shit! He just doesn't like me being right! Let's do an ad. Hi, Bill.
Hey,
Mike. Put that endangered species down. Put it down.
I'm just trying to make it breed.
Put it down. Don't do that. Okay, there's not. You need two of them. What's that in your back? Get that female version of that same endangered species out of your pocket.
They really like each other.
Bill.
It's meant to be.
You need something else in your life, okay? You don't need to fix the endangered
species. Oh, yeah,
like what? I'll tell you what. How about getting one of your films seen in our film festival? How about that?
Just step
away from the ledge and we'll keep talking. I don't know why you're breeding these things by a ledge.
I have them both in my hands.
Get away, we can all go down.
Explain to me this film thing.
Okay, well, if you go to filmfreeway.com/Boston, like the city, okay? Filmfreeway.com/Boston, you could have your film seen on ASMR Kitten's YouTube channel. She's got 30,000 subscribers. It's losing feathers. Please step away from the ledge. Come on.
It just does that when it's excited.
Oh, I didn't know. They're endangered. I haven't encountered a lot of them. Okay? Look, if you go to filmfreeway.com/Boston and you enter one of your films, we accept podcasts, video art, almost anything. You could get your film seen by... She's got videos on her channel seen by hundreds of thousands of people. That's amazing for a prize. Bill, you ever tried to get a video seen by lots of people?
I have, and it is really, really hard. That's why I'm filming this right now, and it's still not getting a lot of
views.
This
is going to get you in so much trouble, though. Where did you get them? They look so rare and beautiful. And babies,
too. I
know
a guy who knows
a guy. We're going to have a talk about when things can breed. They look small. They look too small. So anyway... Filmfreeway.com/Boston.